We are member-supported radio right here in Laguna Beach. Laguna's only FM on the phone with, I guess, you know, a guy whose reputation precedes him. It is the Reverend Horton Heat. And first of all, we understand that touring could be a grueling schedule. Where in the world are you calling from today?
Well, I'm not that far removed. I'm in. I'm at the observatory, Orange County. What town is this? Santa Ana?
Yeah, it's Santa Ana.
Yep. Mm-hmm, that's where I am.
Believe it or not, Santa Ana, South Orange County is becoming relevant, and the observatory is a pretty good venue for a show. Are you familiar with that venue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had some really cool shows here already, so looking forward again to another one tonight.
Right on, man. The Reverend Horton Heat is on the line on listener-supported radio. An unbelievable live show playing the observatory tonight with Deke Dickerson, tomorrow with Wanda Jackson. And you got a new release in the works. Are you going to be playing some new songs off this upcoming record due to hit stores in January?
We've got at least two of them. But we're probably, once the album gets out, we'll be playing more of our new songs. But we're gonna be doing at least two. So,
nice.
Also tonight the Necromantics are playing tonight too. So we got to get them in there.
Are those artists that you basically, you know, are you able to pick and choose what bands you wanna play with or take on tour at this point?
A little bit, but you know, our management has to work a lot with the promoters and mm-hmm. what they would like to have, you know, and so if there's an artist that maybe might be a little bit of a tough sell for the promoters, then I can't always get what I want, like the Rolling Stones wrote about, but,
uh-huh.
but pretty much in general, you know, these are all buddies of ours as well as great bands that sell tickets as well as make great albums, great music. So, yeah.
Sure, man. Well, I'd say you are definitely the headliner. We just ripped into a song called Let Me Teach You How to Eat. It is a brand new song. We are happy to be an early champion of the new stuff. Again, the record's coming out in January. It's going to be the 11th full-length LP, from what I understand. And it's taken a few years to come out with this thing. I guess the obvious question is, what have you been doing in the meantime?
Well, you know, we tour irrespective of any album release. You know, my art form is playing music, so we do that no matter what. We play at least 120 shows a year, and so a lot of touring in between these last two albums. And then you know, recording. I mean, we've been working on this album, gosh, for about a year and a half at least. So
yeah.
We tour so much, man. It's crazy.
Can you take us in? How has touring changed throughout the years? I imagine that you're not doing the van thing anymore, you know, like some of these indie bands that come through our studios.
Well, right. But, you know, there's a lot of bands that aren't indie bands that, you know, do the van thing because you make more money. But we've, for a long time, we've leased a bus. And so we have a bus and a driver, but on one hand, it's expensive, but on the other hand, it saves us on hotels, and then it's an easier way for us to travel. We actually can get to point A to point B so much easier. It enables us to play more gigs and to kind of go where the money is to make up for the cost. So
you're in a fortunate place to be able to make music your living and to be able to get on that tour bus and play shows all around the country. An amazing thing. Did you ever think you'd be in this position, you know, way back when you were just starting out playing the guitar?
Well, I hope. You know, I dreamed, it was my dream, but there were, you know, I went through phases where, of course, I thought that it would never happen, but then again, too, you know, I held on to my hopes, I guess, and so, you know, it leads us to where I'm at now, so, it's kind of crazy, though, because when I decided to just really go straight with this whole rockabilly thing, that was back in the era of the big hair metal guitar bands, and so in a respect, me just saying, "Oh, I'm gonna do this rockabilly thing," and just not even think about whatever else is popular.
Right.
That was kind of me in some respect giving up on the whole dream of, you know, the big rock stardom and everything. And, you know, Rutherford Heat has never really done that. We never had a huge hit song or anything like that. But
I'd say at this point
ticket sales are great. Our ticket sales are commensurate to our CD sales and all that are pretty impressive.
No, I imagine at this point you have a built-in audience of those, you know, hardcore rockabilly fans. And I imagine, you know, with each record that comes out and each show that you guys perform around the country and beyond, that you probably have new fans. This thing's growing every day.
Right, right. And really, though, I mean, talking about the business side of it now, you really have to do that because you know, as people get older, they have to get regular jobs and they have kids and whatever they have. So, you know, it's the younger people are the ones who are actively wanting to go out and experience a new band or a new band to them, if you will. And that's kind of what we are. We're a new band to these younger music-loving people. And, you know, in our music, I think another thing, too, is, you know, our music is high energy. We don't do a lot of slow, strummy, singy songs. We do a lot of kind of fast, up-tempo rhythms. So,
yeah.
You know, that I think that energy has kind of helped us stay, you know, relevant with the younger people that are actively seeking out new bands.
Right. So. Well, take us back to the roots, if you don't mind. Originally, you're from where?
Well, I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, in Corpus Christi, Texas, and then kind of moved around to various different places within Texas. I was playing, I've been playing music and making money playing music since I was 16 years old. So,
wow.
I moved around a bit, and the band I was in ended up moving to Dallas. And it was about that time my parents moved to Dallas. So Dallas is kind of my adopted hometown for a very, very long time now. So
what sort of artists were around? Like, what were you listening to in those formative years? Or, you know, what type of music were your folks listening to? Like, what was around?
Well, my folks were into music, but they were a little bit off into the, you know, they were from a whole different era. I mean, they didn't really connect to rock and roll. They were a swing big band connected. You know, that was their thing. And so,
sure.
But they were also into cool music too. I mean, I got a lot of stuff from them, the country thing and then the big band swing stuff. But my cousins, my extended family, played music, and so that was where I first got turned on to Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins and Elvis Presley. But you know, growing up, all sorts of stuff. You know, being in South Texas, there was a lot of, you know, the Hispanic music was big down there. Of course, country music was big in Texas, but then blues too was really popular, and so. You know, I was a rock and roll kid that went to record stores and eventually discovered blues, and I really fell into that thing pretty hard and heavy and started trying to play guitar. And
right.
You know, that kind of, you know, but gosh, so much stuff influences me, you know. I mean, it's, you know, if I hear something and I think it's good, I'll like it no matter what, you know.
Right. I guess you touched on some of those artists just a second ago, even Elvis Presley. But if you were a new school cat trying to get into the rockabilly genre or trying to, I guess, discover some new music or maybe, you know, some of those, you know, old musicians, where would you guide them? Like the roots of rockabilly?
Well, I guess I would have to say Johnny Burnett and the Rock and Roll Trio. Mm. And they're a little bit obscure nowadays, but in the world of rockabilly, they're a major force because they were just great and just super high energy. Their big song that they made was a song called "Train Kept a Rollin'" that Jeff Beck did, and then Aerosmith did that song, you know, over time. But they're pretty wild, man. Pretty high energy stuff, and they're from the 50s. They were in from Memphis too, and but they I have to say Johnny Burnett. I'd have to say Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps. Eddie Cochran. Of course, Jerry Lee Lewis and Carl Perkins and everything on Sun, just Sun Records, just about.
Right. They were blazing trails, man.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's a lot of great, a lot of the country artists started out as rockabillys. Conway Twitty, the famous country artist, he has, his early stuff is really ripping rock and roll, rockabilly stuff. So there's all sorts of things out there that are like that. But no, Johnny Burnett and the Rock and Roll Trio, man, they're right up there at the top. They were pretty awesome.
And do you still collect some vinyl and have some of those records that you'll like never part with?
Oh yeah. I have all that stuff on vinyl.
That's great, man.
Trying to get more.
Reverend Horton Heat is on the line. Looks like a grueling tour schedule. And again, the new record is coming out towards the beginning half of January 2014. Playing two shows in Santa Ana at the Observatory. One is tonight. One is tomorrow. Wanda Jackson will be performing with you on stage tomorrow here in Southern California. I'm looking at your website right now, ReverendHortonHeat.com. There's a spot on there which says it's basically Reverend Rants, and it looks like your own personal blog.
Yeah, I should do that more, but I've written several articles on that thing. I need to come out with some new stuff.
No, it looks like you've been written on. You have been writing about, I guess, your love for cars. And what are some of the other themes you've been writing about that people could find on your website?
Well, several different things. And you know what? It's been so long since I've done one of those that I can barely remember what it's all about. But there might be one on there about sound men and the state of our sound and audio right now, which is to me it's a little bit off kilter, but you can read about that.
There's one particular blog where you're talking about cover songs and artists playing cover songs. You recall writing about that?
Yes, because it was, you know, it was almost impossible for us back in the 70s, it was really impossible to have a band that played all original music, or very difficult. You had to be in the right place at the right time, and it was, so most bands, you know, could only play cover songs, and that was it. You know, if you started throwing in some of your own original songs, even if they were real good, the club owners would fire you. They'd say, hey, we're not going to have you anymore. You started playing your own songs now, you know? And so, so that it's kind of, but you know what? I don't really remember what that rant was about exactly. I'd have to look at it and try to remember something. I don't know. I need to write some more of that stuff.
Right, totally, man. It's really good stuff, and it's out there for the world to see, which is really great. This is the Reverend Horton Heat. Right here on Member Supported Radio. We launched this radio station about a year ago. We are a nonprofit in Southern California, so we're able to take a chance on a record, do some cool things for independent artists.
That's great.
And your record label, Victory, has been very nice. They floated us a couple of songs, really, before everybody else has them. So really, in a couple minutes from now, we're going to rip into the song Smell of Gasoline, which is on the upcoming record due out in January. Is there a VH1 Storytellers type of moment you could give with this particular song, or should we just rip right into it on the air?
Well, it's about this girl that I knew in school that I'd known her. We'd been in school together for a long time, and I don't know how we started talking about it. It was probably talking about her brother's car or something. Her brother was into cars, and she told me, she said, I love the smell of gasoline. And it kind of, you know, I was kind of young, and it just kind of freaked me out, but I was kind of going, yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of a dangerous smell. You know, it's toxic fumes, of course, but,
right.
But, you know, like you can kind of smell the danger even though you're not actually in the car going 120 miles an hour, you know, and so. And then what the song is about is that, you know, I was, years later, I thought, man, I wonder if she was kind of coming on to me, like trying to tell me she was digging on me. But the funny thing, the song is about me wondering that years later, but then realizing that I was so young and dumb that she could have been, and I would have never known it, yeah. For sure never acted on it, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Right. That's crazy to think about. You know, flash forward to 2013, you have a song coming out about that particular instance. That's amazing. This is the Reverend Horton Heat live on the radio on member-supported KX93.5. Before we kind of wrap it up and play the song off the upcoming record, what advice would you give to those artists who would really like to be in the position where you are right now to make music, you know, their full-time job? What would you say to those artists who are working a crappy day job just to facilitate their art at night type of thing?
Well, we kind of consolidated everything, and everybody basically gave up their day jobs. And the only way to make that happen is to start traveling and playing music. Because if you just stay in your town, then there's not enough big enough market in any major area that would mean that you could play five nights a week to make enough money to live off of. And so the advice I usually give young bands is to get a really good running van. Because if you have a good running van, you know, you got the guys and girls can all get in it and go from gig to gig, you know, safely and you know, reliably, and do this. And it, you know, for your means of travel, and this the way music is, the means of travel is almost more important than whatever kind of style of music is in favor or out of favor or what have you.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, I also wanted to mention, you know, you asked me about the rockabilly artist, and I got to mention Wanda Jackson is playing tomorrow night. And I mean, she's the one of the last people. She's the real deal rockabilly from the 50s. And you know, there was really only a handful of the most influential rockabilly girl singers, and she's really probably at the top of the list of all of them, and she's still around doing it. So anyway, just right. Throw that out there.
Well, God willing, a number of years from now, you'll still be doing your thing. It's impressive, the discography that you've put out over the years. I guess another question to kind of recreate the sound of these records, who do you have performing with you on stage?
The record is basically just me, Jimbo, and Scott.
Awesome.
Me and Jimbo on bass, Scott on the drums, me on guitar singing, and that's it. We're doing something a little different now. We're probably going to be playing more of the new songs in our set once the record comes out, but we're kind of doing a little bit different thing now where we got a couple of people coming, or Deke Dickerson coming to sit in with us in the middle of the set. So
wow.
It's a little bit of a different way of our set, the way our normal sets go right now. But yeah, no, we've always tried to keep it honest. You know, we may add acoustic guitars, and I may overdub like a kind of a background kind of a rhythm guitar that doesn't even, it's something you might not really hear, just kind of feel, adds a little bit of richness to the mix. But I, you know, mainly, you know, all you're hearing is just one guitar part, one bass, one drum part, and then us singing, whatever. So,
and it turns out to be a full sound and super high energy, and there
cool,
you go,
thanks,
man. Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time, man. And who knows, next time you're sweeping through Southern California, maybe you'll be able to make it into our Pearl Street studios here. We're right on PCH with an amazing view of the Pacific Ocean to our backside here. So hopefully we'll keep in touch, and I'll see you at one of these shows. I'll be right in front in a bright green American Apparel shirt as per usual.
Okay.
And again, we're going to rip into the new song called Smell of Gasoline. It is new from Reverend Horton Heat. Again, this guy, you know, his reputation precedes him. We're lucky to have this new music first right here on KX93.5.